Well, you will find so often in life that there are so many different responses when it comes to danger. You find people who perhaps see danger at every turn. They imagine that there's every danger, that there is danger in every single walk of life. They're paranoid about danger that they might be in. It seems to be when it comes to life, they are overcautious and they take extreme measures in order to keep themselves away from danger. You have others who would take a risk. They perhaps don't see danger like others do. They plan to live their life in a way where they don't see these potential danger scenarios, and therefore they would say that they live in a way where they don't think about these things and they don't care about these things. One thing I'm sure you're very aware of is the danger we have faced in the last year with the coronavirus pandemic. There was that news broadcast and they announced that there was a case, then another case, and things seemed to get worse and worse and worse, and then there was a lockdown and there was this big alert to the whole country. If you leave your home, if you go about your daily and your ordinary business, you are in danger. And of course we saw the preparation. We saw people go to the shops. We saw people do all sorts of things to prepare for the danger that was ahead. And I'm sure when we went outside, when we went to do things, we certainly felt that we were taking a risk. You see, as soon as the cry is laid out, danger, people prepare. People get ready. And yet it seems with the gospel, there is a different attitude. When people are faced with the gospel message, when they're told of the wrath of God to come, when they're told that they must prepare for the great eternity by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems they do not prepare. It seems they will not prepare. It seems that they refuse to come to the cross and find mercy when it comes to the Lord Jesus. And I wonder, how many times have you perhaps heard the gospel? You've heard of the danger. You've heard of the fact that you could be swept out into the great eternity and you could lose your own soul, and yet it seems no matter how much this is said, you still have not prepared. You have not taken heed to the word of God. You know, in my hometown in Portavogie, there is a very particular profession down there, and we call it whelk gathering. And in order to do this here, you have to go down to the beach, and the best time to go is when the tide is out. So the worker will go out and he will prepare for that tide. He'll follow it out and then he'll come back as it seems to come back to shore, and he'll do his work and he'll look to make his money. There is a tragic story of a man who went out to do such a job. He got into his work and it seemed he was so busy and he was so interested in making money, he did not take heed to the greatest danger that he was in. As he lifted up his eyes, he looked all around him, and all he could see was water. He could see no way back to shore. He could see then no pathway to safety. You see, he did not take heed to the tide. He did not take heed to the danger, and it cost him dearly. And how sad it would be if you would not take heed. If you had not lift up your eyes and looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it seems then you will be too late. The pathway is not clear. There's no way back to safety because you'll be lost. Now, the Bible so often speaks about those who are lost. And when we come to the book of Exodus, we are introduced to a man who is simply entitled Pharaoh. And you see, Pharaoh did not take heed to danger or the danger that he was in. The danger that this man was in was the fact that he had a hardened heart. And you see, the gospel gives us a warning about a hardened heart. A heart that is hard against God. A heart that is hard against the gospel. And therefore, it is a heart that you may have this evening. And if you have a hardened heart, you are in great danger. And that's what I want to speak upon this evening. The danger of a hardened heart. The danger of a hardened heart. Why is it so dangerous? Well, first of all, it's dangerous because of the revelation that is given. When we see Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, we can very clearly say that this man was one who was blessed with a wonderful revelation. You see, Pharaoh had a revelation of the Lord. We see that in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And you see here, Pharaoh is being introduced to the Lord. This is not a being God or a false God that he was so accustomed to worshipping. This was the Lord God of Israel, the Supreme One. And therefore, by the lips of God's servant, he is revealing himself unto Pharaoh. But notice what Pharaoh says in verse number 2. He makes this admission. He says, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." In the face of the revelation of God, Pharaoh here comes to the point and he says, "I know not the Lord." And you see, that is the root of the problem for so many. They know about the Lord. They could tell you many facts about the Bible, but they do not know the Lord in a special way through the relationship that he can have with Jesus Christ. They do not know the Lord. They have a revelation, but they have not embraced it in their heart. And maybe that's the case with you this evening. You've known the gospel from a young age. You've had this revelation of God. And yet you would be like Pharaoh and say, "I know about the Lord. I know about Jesus Christ. I know about the cross. And yet still, I know not the Lord." But would you know him tonight? Would you know him by coming to Christ? Would you know him by trusting in the Savior? Then you will know the Lord. And then you will no longer be in the danger that you're in with regard to a hardened heart. You know, up until this point in his life, Pharaoh did have a revelation of God. He had the revelation of God all around him in the creation. And yet the truth was still the same. He did not know the Lord. And he reveals then the nature of his heart, because he takes this revelation of God that is all around him and he uses it for vanity. He uses the revelation of God to make creatures for worship, to make idols for worship, and therefore to plunge himself and his whole nation into wicked idolatry against the Lord. And you see, so often in life, that's what people do. They have a revelation of God, but they look all around them and they see this world and they see all that is before them. They see the material and they create those idols. They have those things in their hearts that they put before the Lord. And maybe that's the case tonight. Your heart reveals itself. It reveals its attitude towards God because you have such a revelation all around you. You have the material and you use it for vanity. You put these things before the Lord. You're an idol worshipper. And you go against the face of his revelation. And I don't know what it is. Some relationship you put before the Lord. Maybe the fact that you would get saved tonight would cause you to have to compromise your routines. It would cost you in the long run, you would say. I cannot come to the Lord tonight because my way of life and the things I do, they do not come in the contact, or they do not sum up what the Christian life should be. And therefore those things come before the Lord. You leave them there and you say, "I cannot come. And I will not come." And yet you have this revelation of God. And therefore that makes you a person of interest for the Lord. Because the Lord has revealed himself unto you. And something that is so striking about the revelation of God to Pharaoh is a revelation of mercy. Because it speaks about the Lord God of Israel. And Exodus chapter 6 verse 6 tells us what this really means. It says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." This is the revelation the Lord had given. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." And so the Lord here is revealing himself as the Redeemer, as the one who saves his people. as the one who delivers them from all of their bondage. You see how the Lord reveals himself to such people, people who are not worthy of anything. The Lord reveals his mercy, his grace, and his love to them. And therefore, he has an interest in you, because he is interested in how you will respond to the gospel. Because the fact that you have this revelation gives you a greater responsibility. And the fact that you may spurn this revelation again and say no to the Lord, it adds to your condemnation. It makes you more stubborn against the gospel. And as time goes by, you become more stubborn and stubborn and stubborn against the Lord. You see, in the face of this revelation, if you will not, then your heart will be hardened against the Lord. Your heart will remain against him. And such unbelief then will lead to you going deeper and deeper into sin. And maybe that scares you. Maybe that puts you in a place of fear. Maybe you say, I don't want to lose my own soul. I don't want to go out into the world again. But if you reject the gospel, then this will add to your condemnation. I ask you, what will you do with the revelation of God tonight? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you have him as your Redeemer? Or in the face of it all again, will you be like Pharaoh and cry out as you drive out of the service, I know not the Lord. And then you walk away again from the Lord Jesus Christ. This hardened heart is also a danger, secondly, because of the heart's role in salvation. So often the Bible speaks about the heart of a person. And of course, we know that that is not speaking about the physical in so many ways. When the heart is spoken of in the Bible, it's speaking about the spiritual part of a person. It's thinking about their intellect. It's thinking about their affections, their mind, and their will. And our society, of course, you know that that is something that is that people are very aware of. You've heard of someone who is being described as having a heart of gold. And you think of that person as being very kind, very generous. You think of someone else who is described as having a valiant heart. And this means they are very brave and courageous. And I went onto a website that speaks about good heart qualities that so many people have. It says that they are unselfish, that they get angry for the right reasons, that they see good in all of the world. And so the world then recognizes that someone has a heart. They have this spiritual part to them. And of course then they're speaking about these heart qualities. And yet the Bible gives us a true diagnosis. The Bible gives us a real revelation of the heart of men and women. And it does not give us compliments. I think of Jeremiah 17 verse 9. And it says there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you see, there is a phrase here in this verse that speaks about the heart as desperately wicked. And that there has the thought or the image of someone who is incurably sick. And so this verse here is speaking about someone who has a heart that is incurable. That can't be cured by self-effort, and so many in our society seek to do that. That is their salvation. It's self-effort. It's reformation of life. It's doing better. And yet the Bible verse here in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says the heart is desperately wicked, it is incurably sick, and it says here that it is deceitful above all things. We can say that the heart is incurably deceitful. The heart deceives a person. And so far with regard to things pertaining to the gospel, your heart has deceived you. Your heart tells you that you have more time. Your heart tells you that you don't need to get saved tonight. You can leave it for another day. Your heart tells you perhaps that the gospel is just one of many messages. And it tells you you don't have to take heed to this message. Your heart tells you all of these things because your heart is deceitfully wicked. Your heart is incurably deceitful, and it will deceive you into a lost eternity if you continue to take its counsel. If you continue to go along the way that you want to go against the Lord, because the heart that remains like that is a heart that will never embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often that heart of yours maybe tells you you're satisfied. Your heart tells you that you're happy in your life. You do not need the Lord. that all is well, that everything is good. The gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ will add nothing to it. And yet your heart continues to deceive you. And your heart is deceiving you with regard to your standing before God. But you know, when it comes to the glorious gospel, when it comes to the Lord and His salvation, let me tell you, friend, if you're not saved, the Lord can change your heart. The Lord can give you a new heart. It says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." You see, there is a wonderful picture here of two different types of heart. And the heart of an actual person is that stony heart. You think of a stone. A stone is dead. A stone hasn't got much life about it. And the Lord is essentially saying, that dead heart, that stony heart, that lifeless part of your constitution, I will take away, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And the heart of flesh is a heart that's alive. It's beating, it's well. What is the Lord saying? He says, I will give you life in your soul. I will give you a heart that loves me. I will give you a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you a heart that will so live for Him in this world until you get the glory. That is what the gospel can do. The Lord can change your heart tonight. But a heart that is not changed is a heart that gets hardened. Think of Exodus chapter 9, verse 12. "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh." You see, the Lord was hardening his heart because of the fact that Pharaoh stubbornly continued to refuse to bow down to his will. And the thought of that term, hardened, is to make strong. And so Pharaoh here was being made strong in his resolution to rebel against the Lord. Essentially, what I'm saying here is Pharaoh was rebelling against the Lord, and the Lord said, "Have it your way. Keep going the way you're going. I'll let you do exactly what you want." And what a fearful thing for a sinner to have such a thing before the Lord. To say no to Jesus Christ, and the Lord can say, "Have it your way. I'll let you go on in the resolution or in the way that you want to go. You resolve to rebel against me. Have it your way. Go your way." Here is the scary part. Please take heed to this. The Lord tonight could take you on your own way. He could let you go the way you want to go. The Lord could let you go on that path of sin tonight. This could be the night where you lose your soul. And I'm not saying you might not go into a lost eternity. I'm not saying that you might not live a long life after this night, but this could be the night when the Lord says, "Go your own way, and I will not return, and I will not speak again, and I'll let you go your own way." This is the night you could say, "I am going on the pathway straight to hell." That could be the declaration of God. This could be the night where He hardens your heart beyond repair. He lets you go your own way. What a scary thought that is. This could be it. This could be the final opportunity. This could be the last night you come to this meeting and you think about your soul. This could be the night that the Lord lets you go and lets you have it your way. No, friend, what will it be tonight? Will it be the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart that believes unto Him, a heart that thrusts itself to Him and says, "Lord, save me from my sin"? Or will it be a heart that continues to rebel against God? One more danger I want you to see about this hardened heart. The danger is because of the end that it brings. Very well, we can know the end of a heart that is hardened against the Lord, because the end of Pharaoh was that this man perished. We read in Psalm 136, verse 15, and it speaks here of the Lord, "But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever." And see, in the Red Sea we see a revelation of two kinds. In the Red Sea we see a revelation of the mercy of God. He allowed His people to pass through that time. And yet the Red Sea was not only an instrument of mercy, it was an instrument of justice and of judgment upon the enemies of God. You see, Pharaoh took the Lord on one more time. He tested the Lord's long-suffering one last time. And how often have you tested such a thing? You see, the fact that the Lord has not come upon you with wrath testifies of His long-suffering, of His patience towards you. And why does He do that? Because He's giving you time to repent. He's giving you room to get to Christ. But His long-suffering only lasts so long. And next thing, the wrath of God can come crashing down. And that's what happened to Pharaoh that day. The Lord had had enough, if you want to put it that way. In Exodus 14, verse 4 to 6, it says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people of God. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. You see what is happening here? Pharaoh makes that one last determination to go after the people of God, to defy the Lord one last time. And what does the Lord say here? He says, "I will be honored upon Pharaoh." You see, when it comes to the end, when it comes to that time where God will ultimately be honored, when it comes to eternity, God will be honored by showing the grace, or by showing grace and mercy to His people. He will be glorified. He will be praised. But God will be honored in His just wrath against sinners. God will be honored in His judgments. His people will glorify Him because He will show Himself to be just. And He will not let one sinner or one sin go free. And He will be honored. And I ask you, friend, how will the Lord be honored in your life? Will He be honored in the fact that He saved you by His grace? Will He be honored in the fact that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will He be honored by the revelation of His wrath and His justice against you? When He casts you into that deep, dark eternity, will the Lord be honored in such a way? Because He will be honored either way. Either way you have it in your life, God will be honored. And I ask you then, what purpose has He raised you up in this life? In Romans chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." You see, Pharaoh is to be a lesson for men and women down the ages. The Lord here wants His name to be declared throughout all the earth, to tell others of the way He deals with those who rebel against Him. And this was Pharaoh's purpose in life, to honor the justice and wrath of God. Let me tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ has honored God fully. Jesus Christ has honored God in such a way where God is revealed and all of His perfections. Because when you go to the cross of Calvary, you see God's mercy. You see God's love. You see His grace all there. When you go to the cross of Calvary, you see His justice. You see His wrath. You see the fact that He turned His back on His only begotten Son. And He forsook Him there. That's what you see as well. And I ask you then, this great question, if he did not spare His Son, what makes you think He's going to spare you? You are being warned tonight. The Lord is warning you. The Lord is bringing it to your heart that He will not have mercy unless you get to Christ. You know, the people of God in the Old Testament times, they identify so closely with Moses. We see it there at the Red Sea. Their identification with Moses was their salvation. And who you identify with is so important when it comes to the gospel. Only through identification with Jesus Christ will the wrath of God not come pouring down upon you. Because His wrath has been satisfied there at Calvary. Therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no wrath left. There is no justice left. All has been satisfied at Calvary. And I say to you then, will you identify with the Savior? Or what will your great end of your life be? What will be said of you when it comes to the great eternity? Or will you come tonight and trust in the Lord Jesus? This will be the day where it will be spoken of in all eternity, the day where you trust in Christ. The day where you set yourself on that path to glory. Or will you continue on in the danger that you're in? Will you continue on in your sin? Will you continue on in your rebellion against God? One last act of rebellion. And tonight the waters of His wrath, if you want to put it that way, will come crashing down upon you. And you'll be lost forever. I pray tonight you'll see the danger that you're in without the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll put your faith and your trust in Him. And you'll know Him as Savior. For His glory alone. Amen.